any chance does everybody have a pen? And if not, is there a way that we can get some pens out to people? Okay. Everybody, I'd like you to take your lesson plan. Oh, once, as if everybody has one, of course. Fold your paper in half. Make a nice crease. I need a pen too, don't I? Here we go. I have a pen. All right, it doesn't matter what side, but I want you to make a circle right in the center, about that big. Yep. Yeah, just a little one. Let's say a half inch diameter. You need one? Travis, so I need one more lesson plan out here. Thank you. All right, and around that little circle, I want you to draw another big one like that. Miracle. So, it doesn't matter. It should look something like a pinwheel. Now, the little circle, I want you to write just me, not like Michael, but me, M-E. You are the center of your circle.
Amen.
Now, from there, you got all this space around you. Now, it doesn't have, think of a pie chart. I want you to put like, here, I'll just give you a little example. Here we go. Toot, 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 toot. I'm going to use an easy one, sleep. That's a portion of my existence, sleep. Now, take a minute or two, and I want you to go do that on all of them. Put, again, Bible reading time, job, family, how you prioritize your day, your life, your week. I want you to do that around you, your center. And again, like, job is going to be a lot bigger than TV time. Cough, cough. Got a family. Now, I'm really boring, so mine, I don't have a lot to put on here. You guys are probably going to have a lot more to put in than me, but just take a couple of minutes and fill that out. It'll look like an uneven wheel of fortune. So obviously this represents, I'll just say, it's your table of life. You've got you in the center, and throughout your day, your week, your month, your year, your job being in the center is to balance all that out. So you've got a lot of weight, let's just say, we'll use the analogy, a lot of weight on your shoulders that you're taking care of. Now, the lesson today that we're going on is staying on the right path. It says right here the key idea is learn four of the devil's most effective tricks to get you off the right path of serving the Lord. Well, with you in the center and your balancing act, it is very easy for the devil to use one of these four tricks to come slap your table, and all of a sudden your balancing act is off. Your job goes downhill, your TV time comes up. Obviously, that is wrong, that's bad. We don't want that. So what I want you to do is where it says me, I want you to put a big X over it. And flip your paper over to the other side and make another little circle. and another bigger circle around it. And in the center one, instead of putting me, this time he put Jesus. And you fill out the rest just the same. Your job, sleep, family, entertainment, church, Bible reading, prayer time. So now with this table and Jesus balancing out your life instead of yourself trying to hold the burden, when the devil comes by with one of these tricks and slaps the table, you've got Jesus holding you up instead of yourself. And while sometimes in our hectic lives that is difficult, when we can do that, when we can center Jesus and center our lives around him, instead of just putting him in a portion of our circle, we don't have to fear the devil. So, let's see here. I was hoping for a bigger class, but it's not a problem. Chess is over there. Who does not like Butterfingers? Everybody loves Butterfingers. Okay, so I guess it's going to be my job. Because this is a... Well, let me say something. Let's pray real fast. Father, thank you for allowing us to show up here today on this beautiful Sunday morning. Thank God for air conditioning, by the way. Please allow me to teach your word. Let this discipleship course, teach us. Let us grow with you, in you. And just thanks for being there. Thanks for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I was preparing for my message today, I'm sitting here thinking, you know what? We get discipled in pastors preaching all the time. I'm looking through all this going, well, pastor just did this one the other day. He did a whole lesson on this. So anybody who has been here for 6 months, you guys have all heard every single one of this. This is almost review. So I was going to say this would be good for class participation, and whoever does the most participating gets a Butterfinger. I have two Butterfingers. So here, I'm going to go ahead and read these first verses here on the page. So lesson 13, staying on the right path. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And here's a good statement. As a Christian, you are either careful or a casualty. Let's open up our Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians 2:11. And it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. His devices. So what are some of the devices that the devil will use to get you off the right path? Trying to get you out of church, trying to get you not to pray, not to read your Bible. Pretty much, we'll just say it, to try and get you to sin. Go ahead. Bad night's sleep? Yeah, that I would go with that. Nightmares. Judy.
Illness and family.
Yes. Anybody else? Yes, anything that can be simple like that, yeah. Well, let's number one here, key point would be wrong priorities get you off the right path. What I would like here is, who would like to bring up Matthew 6:33? I'm going to look right at Aaron. Aaron, bring up Matthew 6:33. Dennis, can you bring up 2 Timothy 4:10? Christy, can you bring up Hebrews 10:25? Sue, Matthew 6:21. And Alfred, how about 1 Timothy 6:6-12? And Aaron, if you would like to read Matthew 6:33 for us.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
All right. So, the very first thing that you should do to keep yourself away from the wrong priorities is to focus on the right priorities. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So the very first thing that we should be doing in our lives is to seek the kingdom of God. If we're busy seeking the kingdom of God, we won't have enough time to focus on the wrong priorities to begin with. Who did I ask to read 2 Timothy? Dennis, please read. So Demas fell away from the Lord because he put the love of the world above God. The very first thing that's going to get you off that path is simply putting anything at all above God. That includes, well, we'll go right here. He just read Matthew 6:33. We're supposed to give the eternal things priority. That's number one. If you do not have your sights set on heaven, well, number one, you're going to forget that your life is just a blip. You're going to say, hey, you know what? That sin for a season sounds pretty good to me. But if you're focusing and you're putting your heart into the treasures of heaven, again, you'll remember. You'll have all those verses in the back of your head that says, you know what? This life is nothing. You know, this world's not my home, we're just a passing through. I mean, songs like that, that's being able to focus on that keeps your path straight and narrow. Another thing, don't let anything ever take you out of church, even just a little. Christy?
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching.
Exactly. So, church is a called out assembly of God. We are supposed to go to church. We are commanded to. We are commanded to go fellowship with fellow Christians. We're supposed to exhort one another. When we're here at church and we're fellowshipping with one another, we're supposed to take on one another's burdens. We're supposed to help. The more that we hang around fellow Christians with the right attitude, with the right feelings towards God, again, that's more time that we're doing the correct things that's going to keep us away from the wrong side of the path. Staying on the straight and narrow is a lot. So you got number one, Jesus is your head. But then number two, you've got all the people around you to help you stay focused. If you find yourself slipping, you've got people here at church that can help bring you back up, that can help pray with you, that can help you. You know what? Let's say someone, their focus on Jesus is faltering a little bit. They're having a huge trouble at work, and they can't get that worry off their head, and prayer just doesn't seem to be working. You know what? You got people here at church that are going to lift you up. They're going to bring you back. They're going to help you focus your eyes back on Jesus, get back on top. Jesus is the one that's going to be able to balance that life wheel. You cannot do it on your own. And another one here, finances. I used a good one, job. A lot of problems with your job is the amount of money you're making, amen? So Matthew 6:21. I can't remember who. Okay.
For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Self-explanatory. And then Alfred?
12.
Yep. I gave you the long one.
But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses.
Amen. Now, just listening to that, so many more verses and stories just pop in your head about the rich man. You got Lazarus. You have, I'll butcher the verse here, but I'm going to do it from memory. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to go into heaven. Money, God, you cannot serve God and mammon. Yes, we are supposed to be friends with money. It is there. It's an unfortunate need, but it's a need. But it is simply there to meet our needs. If we have enough money that meets our needs, that gives us more money that we can give to the Lord. While the Lord doesn't need our money, the local church, we still have to pay for the building. We still have gas. We still have electricity bills. In your own life, you got to pay your mortgage, you got to pay your rent. So yes, we're not all of us, there's probably very few of us that are actually called to be, you know, complete poverty. The rest of us, we have to deal with what we get. I'll even quote Pastor here. Yes, if you have the ability to take a $10 an hour job or a $15 an hour job and neither of them conflict with church, take the $15 an hour job. I mean, do what you can. Be diligent in your work. When you're working for God, your finances are going to take care of themselves. You're going to get that promotion. It may not be within a week, but that boss is going to say, hey, you know what? This guy is working very well. It'll work out for you. Again, when you have Jesus in that center and he's balancing your life, your job is still going to be even. You're not going to have those ups and downs with Jesus in the center. What else? What other priorities can get us off the right path? Anybody? Judy.
Lost job?
Yeah. Yes. Lost job is gonna mess with your finances as well. Definitely. Yes.
Spending time with people that are not Christians.
Oh yes, that'll actually get us to the very next point. So let's slip on over there. So the number two. Let's see here. Aaron, can I get you to go to Psalms 1:1? Dennis, Proverbs 13:20. And who wants to read? How about Christy, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. So this key point here is the wrong friends will take you off the right path. And while we're bringing those up, I'll use myself as an example here. Now, most of you probably already know I've only been saved for a little over 2.5 years now. So I'm going to give my date here. A little over 30 years, I had wrong friends. I will say I wasn't a social bug in the last couple of years of my life, so I didn't have too many to get rid of. But that was one thing that I did when I got saved and started growing in the Lord. You know, 6 months in, I'm looking at my old friends, what they're doing, their bad habits, and I literally had to snip them out of my life. Of course, I would say family will be and still is, for me, the hardest to try and butt out. I mean, number one, I wanted them all to come to the Lord, so there was no way I was going to remove myself from them totally. But at the same time, I no longer went and hung out with them while they were doing these bad habits. So if they were drinking, I wasn't in the same room. Smoking cigarettes, again, try to get out of the same room. Simple things like that. Just don't be around them when they're sinning outright and knowing it, knowing who you are. But again, this is just my heart, me, myself talking here. Cutting out family is difficult, but it specifically says, don't yoke up with unbelievers. Aaron, Psalm.
Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
Now that's a good one right there. Don't take counsel. So, counsel in one's day-to-day life is a necessity. We're not going to know the answers for everything with our own head. The number one counsel that we should be using is the Bible, of course. But if you need some advice from a human being, let's say your mom and your dad, and we're all adults here, but if you still have parents that are alive, let's assume right now, or just pretend that they are unsaved, but they've been around for a while. They've got 60, 70 years experience under the belt of living in the world. We have a pastor here who has 40 years experience of living in the world. Somebody's logical mind would say, 70 years of experience versus 40 years, I'm going to go counsel with my parents. But that's not biblical. You don't want to seek counsel from unbelievers. I would rather seek counsel from a well-established 30-year-old Christian than my stepmom. I love my stepmom. I hope she comes to the Lord, but I'm not going to seek her out for counsel. Who did I give Proverbs to?
13:20.
Yep. That's just like ditto of what I just said. And it's probably going to be the same one here for 2 Corinthians.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Amen. So, just a quick cap on number two here. Yes, pick your friends carefully. But at the same time, we don't want to slough off or ignore the unsaved. We want them to notice us. We want them to know we're Christians. We want them to know how beautiful it is to come to the Lord. So yes, do not yoke up with them. Don't go obviously you can't call it fellowship. Don't go spend time with them at a bar. But if they're curious and they want to hear about the Lord, there's absolutely nothing wrong with going over for lunch and talking about the Bible, having a Bible study. That's perfect. But at the same time, don't go over to watch football with them. Number three, one of the most destructive ones, the lust of the flesh takes you off the right path. I know I'm picking on you a lot, Aaron, but you love it. 1 John 2:15-16. And will you read? No? All right. Dennis, 2 Timothy 2:22. And go ahead, Aaron.
1 John 2:15-16. lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world.
And Dennis.
Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call the Lord out of the pure heart.
And I'll read Ephesians real quick. And Ephesians 5:3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints. So the number one, lust of the flesh, unfortunately, is sexual immorality. Now in the world that we live in, that especially for men, since men look with their eyes, women look with their ears and their hearts, but it's almost impossible to go down the street on any day, especially when it's sunny out like this, and not be exposed to sexual immorality. You've got bikini baristas, and now you've got the little teenage girls in two-piece bikinis doing car washes, billboards. There was just the other day, well, I guess it's a couple weeks ago, they had a Playboy billboard. While I don't personally remember it, they used to have that stuff at least blotted out with big black coverings. So you couldn't, all you could see was the Playboy logo. It's where we have come now from that is just crazy. Here's one. I recently joined a gym. You've got two types of, again, I'm just going to choose women here, two types of women that go to a gym, the ones that are trying to get in shape and the ones that are trying to stay in shape. And I joke with Mark going, when I take my glasses off, I can't see past my hand, which comes in very handy for me in both areas, the ones getting in shape and the ones staying in shape. But there's not a lot of people out there that have my unique ability. Because, I can't see past my hand. So I personally don't run into that problem at the gym. But, pornography. It's everywhere. Let's go to the next one here. Psalms 101:3-4. Yes, Judy.
I can read that one.
Okay. And Mark, do you have your Bible?
Yes.
Matthew 5:27-28.
Okay.
Go ahead. Five, 27, 28, yeah.
Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart.
All right, so we already did the sexual immorality part. So we already know, obviously, participating in it, and now we're specifically talking about watching it. What else should be something that we shouldn't look at? What's something that's immoral that isn't necessarily sexual that we shouldn't be watching? Anybody? Yes, Judy. Yes. I want specifics.
Violence,
yes. Drugs, yes, drug use, alcohol. Yes.
Cussing,
yes. Yes, Judy.
Profanity,
yes.
Witchcraft,
yes. What about walking zombies? What about Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Oh, you got two there, sexual immorality and vampire slayings. Yes.
Occult,
yes. Yes, and now, while these are the ones that we actually slip in the most, men and women, because we're so accustomed to it in America that we don't even think about it. I mean, what's really big right now are vampire shows, vampire movies, and we shouldn't be watching it. But at the same time, most average Christians, and I hate to admit it, even me myself sometimes, I don't feel guilty because I'm so accustomed to it. I grew up with it. It doesn't faze me. I personally can't stand zombie movies, but it doesn't faze most of us. But it's supposed to. It should. Let's see. Christy, 1 Corinthians 9:27, and Dennis, Romans 13:14. Excellent. And Dennis?
Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust.
And I will go ahead and use one thing that Paul says, I die daily. Another one, I'll butcher the verse, but it's going to be close enough. If thy right eye offendeth, pluck it out. So what would be, let me get this phrase this right. So in order to take control of our own desires, well, here's one easy way. We'll use that billboard as an example. I'm driving down the street and I see the Playboy thing. To control my desire, take your eyes and shift them back to the road. Oh, I can't drive without my glasses. Obviously, we're not supposed to literally rip our eyeball out of its socket, but we've got to do something that we can't look at it anymore. Yes, Judy?
We take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
What's one of the best ways to take that captive thought? When you're looking, when you see something that you shouldn't be looking at, or listening to something that you shouldn't be listening to, what's the best way to take control? How are you going to captivate yourself? Yep, that's a very good one. Another way is start reciting Bible verses. Yeah. There you go. Because that's, for most of us, it's a lot easier to remember a song in the hymn book than it is to remember verses. If you can start singing godly music, I mean, I honestly can't remember the last time I turned on my radio in my car anymore. I literally drive without my radio on. I've been doing that for a couple months now.
The verse that always comes to my mind is put on the whole armor of God. And I just keep saying that to myself.
Mm-hmm. So number one, put Jesus in the center of that table. All right, we're winding down here, aren't I? I got to hurry up a little bit. Radio, TV. TV, it's a lot easier for me myself to turn off that radio than it was to turn off the TV. Sometimes I hate my flesh, sometimes I love it. All right, Proverbs 16:18. I'll read that one. So this one here is, pride can take you off the right path. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Mark, can you bring John 15:5? Aaron, 1 Corinthians 10:12. Dennis, 2 Corinthians 3:5. And Sue, 2 Corinthians 3:10-17. Go ahead, Mark.
I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing.
Aaron?
Can I have that reference again?
Yep, 1 Corinthians 10:12.
him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall.
Dennis?
Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God.
And Sue?
Can you tell me what it was again?
Yep. 2 Corinthians 10:17. There we go. So the simplified comment here would be, never put yourself above God's doing. When you get a promotion at work, who gave you that promotion as a Christian? God gave it. Now you're working diligent for God, but God's one who gave you that promotion. Give me another example or where somebody would think, I did that. And, you know, they're good Christian and they love Jesus, but in the back of their head, they're saying, I did that.
Soul winning.
That's actually a good one there. Anybody else?
Bringing someone to church?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, Judy. Soul winning, yep. That's a real good one there. I did that. I won someone to Christ. No, God did. Yes.
Memorizing passages.
Yes.
Knowledge pops up.
It does. All right. So, with that, we all need to remember that we always need the Lord. Secondly, instead of saying, I did that, we need to give the Lord the credit where credit is due. I know, Alice, you don't like reading out loud, do you?
Huh?
I said you don't like reading out loud, do you?
No, I don't like
it. Okay, that's why I kept skipping you. 1 Corinthians 1:29-31. We had some more people. Tia, how about read James 1:17 for us? Should not find it. Okay, go ahead.
1 Corinthians 1:29-31.
Yep.
Okay. That no flesh should carry in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, that he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Yep. Let him glory in the Lord. He that glorieth, any reason whatsoever you have some glory or joy in your life, it is directly because God gave it to you. You did nothing on your own. If you have spiritual gifts, they were given to you by God. If you're an excellent soul winner, you're a good soul winner because of God. Every good thing that happens in your life is a direct blessing of God above. Just remember that and always give him that credit. All right, last one here is, it says, never think you will be okay without the basics. Now, while these, just looking at that church, Bible reading, prayer, while that should be the most simplest part of your Christian life, it is also one of the most overlooked. We already read 10:25, haven't we? We have, so I'll skip that one. Bible reading, Mark, Joshua 1:8, and Christy, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Now, if you look back on your on the table that we made, the circle with Jesus in the center, hopefully every single one of us would have written down in some of that church, Bible reading, and prayer time. And again, with Jesus as the center, we should never falter. As soon as we put ourselves back in that center and try and balance that table ourselves, we will fall in one area, guaranteed. Mark.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Good success, why? I'll just sum that up. Why are we having good success? Because we're... Go ahead. Well, I'm going to be very specific to what he just read. Yes.
Meditating on it.
There we go. Meditating on the word day and night. We're going to get our food, our spiritual food, from the word of God, from our Bible. We need to stay in that. While it's simple, it's something we shouldn't skip. And then prayer, Christy. Pray without ceasing. Not only is that a commandment that we're supposed to do, I mean, we're now such a church on prayer and praise. This part has been drilled in us on why. But how are we supposed to talk to God? He talks to us through the Bible, where we meditate day and night. But how do we talk back? How does he hear us? Through prayer. God's not going to hear us if we don't pray. We're not going to get anything if we don't pray. We're not going to get that promotion if we don't pray. So, got to wrap this up here. All right. So, again, homework. Write out a list of the things that you would be susceptible to and that might get you off the right path. Also, make a plan to be careful, accountable, and avoid falling because of these weaknesses. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Thank you for allowing me to teach you guys today. I hope, our church, we get so much doctrine through the preaching. This was more of a review, but it was still very good to know. All right. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to preach your word today. I hope that it helps us grow and that we continue to put you in the center of our table and try and take us out of the middle. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.